The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Sump pump insurance. Do you have it? Well, I did, and I was so glad after our sump pump failed. This is just one of my top tips to avoid costly fall home disasters. Stick around for the Empowered Homeowner. I am Beth Allen, your host, DIY expert, contractor, and educator. Now, fall is upon us, and that means we're going to see tropical storms, hurricanes, and even tornadoes. We've seen it all in the Philly region in the last few years. And I know for my community of Horsham and Fort Washington area, in the fall of 21, we saw Hurricane Ida become Tornado Ida. And while my family's home was spared from damaging winds, we definitely had power outages and flooding. And we lost our basement due to just that. But that sump pump insurance bailed us out, literally. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I want to talk about the unpredictable nature of the autumn weather and why it's crucial to be prepared and the basic, simple little things that you can do to make your home less likely to suffer damage when weather unleashes itself. So let's talk about high winds. We're talking about falling trees, and this can be downright deadly in some cases, especially if you have an older home with older trees. So one of the most important things to do is to check the trees on your property, and a lot of us don't do that. We let Mother Nature just do her thing. So you want to walk around your property. You want to look for a lot of dead branches. Look for dead spots and hollow spots in a tree trunk. Look for big cracks up a trunk. Is a tree leaning? Do you see a lot of fungus? Did it not really create foliage this year? Is obvious signs of its dying? If you see concerns, please bring out a tree surgeon before that tree ends up in your bedroom, or even worse, your neighbor's bedroom. Now, when it comes to those high winds, what are those potential projectiles that we all have in our yard that you may want to batten down when these storms are predicted? What are they? We've got the basketball nets, kids' toys, trampolines, trash cans, signs, patio furniture, flags, grills, all of these things. You want to weigh them down or put them away. I know I recently saw a video on Instagram of a trampoline that was lifted from the backyard of the house and dropped in the middle of the front yard. We've seen bounce houses take children up for a ride like something out of a horror movie. Be mindful of what you need to do to protect your projectiles from causing problem. Now, when the winds have passed, you know, the storm's over and we get back to life. No, I want you to take a couple minutes and go walk the property. After we've had those really rough winds, inspect the edges of your property. Is there flashing? That's that metal trim that goes on the peaks and corners of your home. Check the flashing to see if any is loose or flapping. You want to check for gutters and downspouts. Have any of them pulled away from the fascia of the house? Have you gutters, downspouts, not the gutters sideways, but the vertical downspouts that have gotten loose and are pulled away? Are there pieces missing? Because that can happen. And then the soffits. If you don't know what the soffit is, that is that flat underside of the roof edge where it meets the front of your house or the back of the house. It usually has little perforations in it that will allow airflow. But that soffit can sometimes come loose, and that is a perfect place for squirrels, bats, and birds to get in. So you definitely want to look for those soffits and make sure that they are intact. And don't forget, if you've got a drone or access to one, get a bird's eye view of that roof. Take that drone up there and see, do you have missing shingles? Is there any damage to a chimney cap or something? Be mindful. It'll take you 5 minutes to do a quick scan, and you may have fun driving your drone in the meantime. Now, being that our family hid in the basement back in 21 when Tornado Ida hit, you do need to discuss a safety plan with your family before you're actually in the real emergency. And just as we should prepare our fire exit, you need a tornado or high wind plan. Now, in our house, we have a basement. So that's what we did. You know, my husband, my son, the dog, we all ran down in the basement until our folks over at Action News said, you can come back out. Think about your plan. Move to the center of your house. Maybe it is an interior powder room. If not a basement, it could be a hallway, somewhere where there is no window access that is far away from the exteriors of the house. Do not stand by the window filming these things, okay? Be smart. There was a woman in our community who lost her life because she was near a window. So you have to be mindful of that. And make sure you have a pet plan. We got to make sure that our pets get to safety. And I've said this before in my fire prevention or safety. If you've got small pets, dogs, cats, if you need to move them quickly and you can't grab their carrier, a pillowcase may be a little traumatic, but it may save them. So you can do that. Now, flooding. Flooding can be a big issue. I know flooding got our house when our sump pump failed, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But there are two kinds of flooding. You can have flooding that enters the basement because the ground water around the house swells and the water has nowhere to go, or it can be flooding from creeks and streams nearby. Heavy autumn rains can be really rough if we've had a dry summer, because then we have the flash floods because the water can't absorb anything. So knowing what are the conditions in your area before that storm hits is important. Are you likely to see the flash floods that are going to overwhelm the gutters and the sewers? So now you're going to have streets that are backed up. This is a great tip for fall. If your street is prone to flooding and the leaves have come down, get out there and rake the leaves off of the sewer grates. Because if the sewers can't accept the water, the streets are going to back up more. So be a good citizen and get out there and make sure you're raking up those leaves. But understand how the water moves in your neighborhood. You also want to prevent the foundation floods by making sure that the water is not pooling around the base of your house. So how do you do that? You can use gutter extensions. My friends at Frost King make these great temporary extensions that you can add on to your downspouts. And you can attach them when we know we're going to have a rough storm for a few days, and then put them away afterwards. And the idea is just to move the water 5-6 feet away from the foundation. But please don't direct the water into your neighbor's yard. That's just not nice, okay? So you have to be mindful about where you're moving it so that it doesn't cause either of you a significant issue. Now, some people live in a place where the risk of water is so severe that they may have to flee the home. It's not just my basement might flood. It's my living room and kitchen is going to flood. Again, just like with fire or tornado prevention or planning, what is your flood evacuation plan? Do you know where you're going to go? Do you have plans for everybody, kids and pets? Make sure that you talk about these things, because with everything, if we have talked about it and thought it through ahead of time, when something actually does happen, we're not in panic mode, because we've thought about our options ahead of time. So do that for your family. Now, if you are in a flood plain, meaning your home has been designated to be in the range of flooding, you can have special agreements with your insurance. And we're going to bring on some insurance pros in the future, a property adjuster, to talk about all of these things in more depth. But just in general, if you're in a floodplain, make sure you have proper insurance to cover such things. Now, if you do have a basement that tends to flood, even with a little bit of rain, are your things elevated? Are the important things elevated that aren't going to be damaged? Take some time to prepare. And this is really important. This is a life-saving tip. If your basement or home is flooded with significant water to the point that it is high enough to reach sockets, outlets, and wiring, do not enter that space. You cannot walk yourself into a space that has live wires. It is a major electrocution hazard. This is when you want to call an electrician and the electric company so that the water and power don't cause a problem, because they can shut the power down to your property until it can be dealt with. Right now, I want to pause for a little commercial break, because there are some great providers out there that support me here at the Empowered Homeowner Show. When the seniors in your life are facing a new chapter, the journey can be overwhelming. At Senior Transition Services, they understand that relocating isn't just about moving things. It's about honoring a lifetime of memories while preparing for a new lifestyle. While serving Bucks and Montgomery counties, the Main Line, and Northeast Philadelphia, they provide expert move preparation and downsizing assistance with a focus on empathy and compassion. They guide you and your loved ones every step of the way, identifying which items could be moved, ensuring that treasured belongings find new homes and cherished memories are preserved. Embrace this new phase of life with confidence and peace of mind. Senior Transition Services, where your past is honored and your future is embraced. Call today at 215-947-5490. When it comes to weatherizing your home, whether it's the heat of the summer or the cold of the winter, your go-to is the Frost King. Frost King has been the nation's go-to resource in weatherizing your home from drafts and bugs and water infiltration for decades. My favorite product is the reusable Weather Seal. This thin product can go on any door or window. It is lightweight, it is white in color to blend into all of your door frames, and it is completely repositionable. So if you are looking for the perfect weather seal, your go-to is the Frost King. Well, with all storms, we run the risk of power outages, and we are so dependent on our electricity that it can be very crippling because, you know, yeah, we can't charge our phones so readily, but it's when the devices in our house that are important stop running, whether it is our HVAC, our refrigerator, our sump pumps. All of these things are important. So when you lose power, it really is a simple, easy task for you to call the power company and to alert them that you are without power. They need to know what are the outages in the area. So reporting it gives them a better assessment of how many homes in the area are without power so that they can determine where the crews need to be sent and they can begin to prioritize getting the power restored. So I have the electric company's phone number in my cell phone, because if the power goes out, maybe your phone is, you know, slowing down or you've lost Wi-Fi signal. You want to be able to have it in your phone so you can call and report your outage. So make sure that you've done that. Now, you need to have a generator plan. Now, we're going to talk about generators another day, because we could talk hours about generators and which ones are the right. But let's just review a couple that are the most common. So light conversation here. When we have generators for our power outages, we have one option is the Generac. That is the whole house generator that is powered by either propane or natural gas that kicks on usually within a few minutes of the power going off. But that can be, you know, a $10,000 to $12,000 investment in a house. So there are only certain people that that's in their budget for. Now, another option is a portable generator with a 30-amp hookup to the house that powers the house probably about 70%. That's what we have at my house. Now, the other option is to use the portable generator, gas-powered, that you can run extension cords from. And that is when you power up just the essentials, the refrigerator, charging your phones, the hot water heater, things like that. Then we have small portable generators, and those can be, just a couple $100, and they can be used for your sump pump, just in a hurry to kind of give it a boost and let it clear, charging your phones, tuning into TVs and all that. But if you have a home that loses power easily, you need to have a generator plan. Even if it's a $200 little portable instead of a $10,000 built-in system, what are you going to do when the power's out? Because I know in our community, we've had times that the power's gone out on a good day when there's fair weather and we're like, what the heck's going on? But when we've had outages, they've lasted 22 hours, 40 hours. So how are you going to navigate through that? Now, one charger that I do love and I want to give a shout out to is called the Halo Bolt. This is a small, compact charger. It's about the size of a hardback novel. And I love this little compact charger because it has a three-prong outlet, it has a USB port, it has a flashlight, and it will hold a charge for hours so you can charge all your devices, so you can communicate, and it will also jumpstart your car. And you can get this thing for like $100 or less, and my family has used it a whole lot of time, and it's small enough to travel with. So check in the show notes because I have a link to this. This is truly like one of my favorite gadgets of all time. I think it's something every house needs to have, and it's great, like I said, on the road. But be thoughtful about people in your house that might have special needs. Do you have someone who is on an oxygen converter? Do you have chairlifts? Do you have somebody who might be on medical equipment like IV pumps? You need to plan ahead in these situations. And then let's talk about that fridge in a power outage. You know, we think about the expense of wind damage and flooding, but what about the expense of losing all of the contents of your refrigerator and freezer? That can be hundreds and hundreds of dollars, if you've packed it well. So remember, if your power goes out, you have 4 hours to save the contents of a refrigerator unopened. So do not open it when the power goes out. We have 48 hours for a freezer, but ideally it's a freezer that is packed. That means it's jam-packed and you've got some ice packs in there and some dense frozen meats that aren't going to thaw easily that are going to help cool other things. I love preparing ahead for those power outages by having a lot of ice packs in my freezer. So you can take a soda bottle and fill it like 2/3 full of water, cap it and put it in there, and it acts like cooling blocks. So if the power does go out, your freezer will last even longer. Now, when my kids were little and they needed a reminder, I would grab painter's tape and I would put painter's tape around the handles of the fridge and the freezer so nobody would, out of habit, walk over and open it. It makes all the difference in how long your things are going to last if you open it or don't open it. And when it does when the power is restored, you need to check everything in the freezer and fridge promptly. Because if you let it recool or refreeze, you won't know what items might have spoiled. So when the power comes back on, you want to get to that contents pretty quickly so you can do your sniff test and make sure everything looks good. Or you can just start cooking so that you don't lose your expensive steaks out of the freezer. Now, we have to talk about insurance. You know, while you're walking the property and making sure you don't have projectiles and the trees aren't coming down, do you have the right insurance? Now, I'm hoping everybody that is within listening range knows that they should have homeowners insurance. If you are a renter, make sure that you have renter's insurance because your landlord only covers the property. He doesn't cover your possessions. So you need that renter's insurance to cover your particular possessions. That is your furniture, your electronics, your clothes, your jewelry, all of those items. But making sure that your family has the right insurance is something that you need to give attention to. And that's why you need to make sure you're working with a good agent. because if you live in that flood-prone area, you need certain insurance. If you live in an earthquake zone, special insurance. Don't just assume, oh yeah, I have homeowner's insurance. You want to ask nitty-gritty questions with your agent to make sure you are covered for things that are likely to happen in your area. Now, for us, we had a great agent that suggested to us a number of years ago that we get sump pump insurance. And you're like, what is that? Well, it is a special rider that goes on our policy that covers the sump pump in the case of it failing. That means if the sump pump either dies or is without power and does not move the water from our basement, that we are covered. So when Hurricane Ida hit, we had our 30-amp generator running out in the driveway under a tent, and it was 1 a.m., and the storm had settled, but it was still raining, and I was not going to leave the generator outside unattended to go to sleep. So I ran that sump pump at like 1 a.m. The water level dropped. The sump pump pit was dry, and I went to bed. Woke up at like 5:30, 6 a.m., went down into the basement, and we had 2 inches of water. The sump pump was turned off because the power was out, and that 2 inches of water was enough to ruin the entire basement. Now, we had that special policy, and the repair estimates for our basement were $13,000. And with my DIY skills, I was able to make all of the updates and renovations myself, and it cost us about $6,500. Now, our insurance policy was for $10,000. So $13,000 estimate, we got $10,000 from the insurance company, and I only spent $6,500 renovating the damage, and we had enough leftover money for new furniture, a new TV, and some other upgrades down there. If you have a sump pump in your basement, ask about the rider on that. We had paid in a small portion of money and were able to benefit from that policy. So do check into that for your home. Another thing that's really important about insurance is that you want to take pictures of your home once a year to account for any upgrades. So if you have put in a brand new kitchen, make sure you have photos of all of that, because when you deal with the insurance company, you want to be able to show them proof of the upgrades you've made so that your home can get put back to its appropriate value. Because if you have, you know, 24-year-old kitchen cabinets, they're valued differently than the ones that you put in 2 years ago. So take photos, document the upgrades in your house, and then what you want to do with those photos is not just leave them in your cell phone, but create a document file and email them to yourself so that you always have those pics. If you have receipts and you have your insurance policy itself, you can document, scan those things, you know, just do print screen, whatever it takes, but create a portable file of your insurance documents so that if there is massive damage to your house and you can't get to your laptop, you can't get to your desktop where all of that stuff is kept, you have emailed it or put it on an external drive out in the Ethernet world so that you can access it from somewhere else and protect all of your assets that you have in that house. Another thing you can do is get a waterproof safe or document pouch. And that's a great way to keep some of those documents safe so you don't have any issues. I am an advocate for, when you have damage to your home, to have a conversation with an adjuster. There are some times when damage might be small that it's not worth utilizing an adjuster, but there are some cases that are definitely advantageous to work with a public adjuster or property adjuster who will help you negotiate and advocate with the insurance company to make sure that you have all of your needs covered and that you're not leaving something on the table with your project getting put back together. Now, we've talked about the damage. We've talked about how to protect some of it on paper. But what about the physical emergency stuff that you need? Obviously, we've got flashlights, batteries. We want to have snacks, water bottles on hand. Non-perishables should always be available, not just for you, but make sure you've got pet food, you've got baby formula. In general, the experts say we want about a 72-hour window to be prepared that we might be without power or water in our homes, and how do we navigate? It's kind of like a Little House on the Prairie style, that we're just living off the land for those moments. Obviously, you know, blankets and things when it's cold. When it's warm, yeah, you might sweat a little bit, but we won't be able to run fans. Think, who are the people that are going to be in your house? Do you have an alternative location? Can you send grandmom to another relative's to make sure that she's in a cooler climate because she has respiratory illness and she can't stay in the hot house? Having all of this thought ahead will really be to your benefit. And of course, not just food for the pets, but what are the carriers? Do you have a temporary location? Do you have a friend who can take the pet for a couple days while maybe you have to go to a hotel because there's significant damage? Then we need to chat about the car. Is your car ready for whatever might be happening? If your neighborhood is going to get flooded, well, if you have four cars, maybe you have an expensive car in the garage, move it. Get it to a friend who's in a drier area. And then in terms of the car itself, when a storm is coming, you need to hit the gas station and make sure that your car is fueled up. We don't want to have that long, you know, 5-mile lineup getting gas, but get gas and make sure if you're using a generator that you're getting gas for that as well, so that you are prepared to fire that up and you have gas on hand. And remember, to charge the cell phones, we need to have the gas in the car if you have no power in the house and you're going to sit out in the car and do that. So you don't want to run out of gas. Like I said, fall emergencies happen, and I just want you to be prepared. Think ahead. Share this episode with some of your friends so that they can think ahead as well. And, you know, we have to be a little bit of a Boy Scout here and always be prepared. Now, if you found this helpful, make sure you tune in. Here at the station, you can go to the website and see other episodes. And you can also go to my YouTube channel, DIYHipChicks.com. And remember, doing it yourself never means doing it alone.